بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. And may the peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 36th hadith from the book Umdatul Ahkam, which is a book in which the hadith relating to Ahkam al-Fiqh are compiled. And in this lesson, we're going to study three hadith. All of them are regarding at-tayammum. So the chapter heading of these three hadith which are now coming up are the hadith of Umran ibn Husayn and Ammar ibn Yasir and Jabir radiallahu anhum ajma'in is Bab at-tayammum, the chapter of at-tayammum. And before we begin studying the hadith, I'll go through a brief introduction regarding at-tayammum. The meaning of at-tayammum in the Arabic language is al-qasd. The meaning of at-tayammum in the Arabic language is al-qasd, i.e. to intend towards something or to have or to go towards something. And as for the meaning of at-tayammum in the istilah, in the meaning that the fuqaha gave, then it is mashul wajhi وَالْيَدَيْنِ بِتُرَابٍ عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. مَسْحُ الْوَجْهِ, it is the wiping of the face, وَالْيَدَيْنِ, and the wiping of the two hands, بِتُرَابٍ, with soil, or whatever is similar to it, عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ مَخْصُوصٍ, in a particular manner, in a particular sequence, and we'll go through the sequence of making a tayammum. And as for at-tayammum, then the scholars, the fuqaha, they differed whether tayammum is mubihun lis-salah or rafi' al-hadath. Is tayammum something which permits a prayer, or is tayammum something which removes al-hadath, something which makes you pure? This is the two difference. So for example, the Hanabila, they say that tayammum is mubihun lis-salah. It permits you to pray. It doesn't technically remove your impurity. It just permits you to pray, but it's as if your impurity is still there. Whereas some of the other fuqaha, they said, no, a tayammum, it actually removes you from the state of hadath. And you are now pure until you break your wudu again. And the fruit or the benefit of this difference is that if we say a tayammum is mubihun lis-salah, tayammum, it only permits you to pray, but you're still in a state of impurity, then that means that if, for example, if you make a tayammum for a particular prayer, let's say dhuhr, and now the time of asr has come in, do you have to make tayammum again, or is the one tayammum enough? So those scholars who said that tayammum is only mubihun lis-salah, it only permits you to pray, I pray that dhuhr prayer, that means that when asr comes in, you have to make another tayammum. And those scholars who said, no, tayammum is rafi' al-hadath, it removes you from hadath, then as long as you don't break your wudu by going to the toilet or passing wind or going to sleep, then you can keep praying in that same tayammum. This is the difference between both of the opinions. Whoever made tayammum, then he prayed, and then after praying, he found water. Somebody made tayammum, then he has prayed, for example, the dhuhr prayer, and then after totally finishing the dhuhr prayer, even though the time remains, a person finds water. Is it an obligation upon this person to make wudu and then pray the dhuhr prayer again, or is that previous prayer enough, even though there's enough time remaining? And the answer is that the person who has finished his prayer with the tayammum, even if afterwards he finds water, then his prayer is correct. And he doesn't need to repeat his prayer again or make wudu again. Why? Because when the time for the prayer came, and he wanted to fulfill the obligation, and he couldn't find water at that stage, then he fulfilled the obligation upon him. The obligation upon him was to look for water. If there's no water, he found a soil, and therefore, or sand, and he made tayammum, and his prayer is correct. If a person makes tayammum, and then he begins to pray, however, in the middle of the prayer, he finds water, does he have to now break his salah and go make wudu, or does he complete his prayer even though water is present? And the ulama, amongst them Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, they said that if a person makes tayammum and then he begins the prayer and then in the middle of the prayer he finds water, then upon him is to break his prayer, make wudu with the water and then repeat his prayer. Because Allah said in the Quran, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا. If you do not find water, then make tayammum. But this person has now found water, and he's still in the middle of his prayer. He hasn't completed his prayer. Other scholars said that you finish that prayer, but you change that prayer to a nafl. And then you make wudu, and then you can pray your fard prayer with that wudu. You pray your fard prayer with the wudu. But as I mentioned, or rather as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions, that a person should break his prayer, make wudu again, and then start the prayer again. And if a person makes tayammum, finishes tayammum, and then before he prays, he finds wudu, water, then of course upon him is to make wudu. Because like I said, Allah says in the Quran, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَانْ. If you do not find water, فَتَيَمَّمُوا, then make a tayammum. Therefore, when you find water, then that tayammum doesn't count anymore. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا وَجَدَ الْمَاء. So if a person finds water, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, then let him have taqwa of Allah, وَلْيَمُسْ بَشَرَتَهُ, and let the water touch his skin. Meaning, let that person make al-wudu. If a person prays the Dhuhr prayer with the tayammum, is it allowed for him to pray the Asr prayer with the same tayammum? And this goes back to whether the tayammum is mubih lis-salah or rafi al-hadath. Does it permit the prayer, or is it actually removing you from impurity? And there's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood that two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and both of them had made tayammum, and then they had made a prayer, and then they had prayed a prayer. One amongst them, he prayed his prayer with a tayammum, then he repeated tayammum again, and then he prayed the next prayer. As for the other one, with the single tayammum, he prayed both prayers, and the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawood. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said to the first person, the one who prayed the two prayers with a single tayammum, he said, "Asabta sunnah," that you have found the sunnah. You know, you've agreed with the sunnah. And as for the second person, he said, "Lakal ajru marratain." As for you, you have two rewards. And this shows that it's enough for a person to pray more than one prayer with the same tayammum. No. And then the third introduction is, why does a person need to make tayammum? Or what are the reasons for which a person should make a tayammum? And the first one is, if there is no water. If there is no water, then a person makes tayammum. Like Allah said in the Quran, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا. If you do not find water, then make tayammum. So this is the one. This is the first cause, or the first reason of making a tayammum, that you don't find water and therefore you make a tayammum. The second reason for making tayammum is if you find water but you're not able to use that water. The second reason is if you find water but you're not able to use that water. For example, if there's water present but a person is ill and that using that water is going to harm you, therefore you make a tayammum. Because even though the water is there, it's as if the water isn't there. If you can't use it, then it's as if the water is not there. The third reason for making tayammum is if the water is present and you don't, there's no harm upon you, but you're not able to reach that water. Like if there was between a person and between the water some danger, for example, an animal or a dog, which might occur sometimes, and therefore it's dangerous for you to make use that water to make wudu, therefore you make a tayammum. Of course, you wait till the end of the time, and if you find that the time is about to leave, then you make a tayammum. The fourth reason is, if you're fearful of some harm, that you merely fear some harm from using the water, even though it isn't a physical illness, then you can make tayammum. As an example, if, for example, you were outside and it's cold, and then if you're going to make wudu with the water, then the water is severely cold as well. And therefore, if you make wudu, perhaps you might suffer from pneumonia, perhaps you will become ill, or if you're already ill, then maybe it's going to delay your cure, slow down your cure. In all of these reasons, a person makes a tayammum. And in the hadith of Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari mu'allaqan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him to a ghazwa, to a battle called Dhat Salasil. And in this ghazwa, Amr ibn al-As mentions that he had a wet dream. Fi laylatin baridatin shadidatul bard. In a very cold night, in which the cold was very severe. فَأَشْفَكَ إِنْ اِغْتَسَلَ هَلَكْ. So he was fearful and scared that if he makes ghusl without water, which is very cold, on a severe cold night, then he is going to die or harm himself. فَتَيَمَّمَ. So Amr ibn al-As, he made tayammum. وَصَلَّى بِأَصْحَابِهِ صَلَاتُ الصُّبْحِ. And then he led his companions in the Fajr prayer. So this hadith shows, firstly, it is allowed for a person to make tayammum if water is there and you're able to reach the water, but you're scared by using the water there's going to be some harm upon you. And secondly, it's allowed for a person to be the imam whilst he has made tayammum, even if the people behind him have made wudu. Because in this hadith, the companions had made wudu, his companions had made wudu with water. And he himself, because he was in a state of janabah, he could only make a tayammum. And also the third benefit is, you're allowed to make tayammum from al-janabah, from major impurity. How does a person make tayammum? We're going to come to this later on. But a person, he places his hands once upon the earth, right? And anything which is upon the earth, i.e. that which is natural, then this is enough to be a tayammum. A person, it doesn't have to be soil, for example. Even sand or even the dust which is naturally upon the earth outside, then, like even, for example, grass, you could place your hands on it once, right? And then you wipe your face and then you wipe your hands like this. You wipe your hands and this is a tayammum. And in one of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ, he placed his hand upon the earth and then he blew on it slightly. Maybe there's still some, you know, some physical soil there. And then he wiped his face once like this. And then he wiped his palms and the upper part of his hands. And this is a tayammum. And the scholars differed between the tartib, between the sequencing of tayammum. That should a person do his hands first and then his face, or the face first and then the hands, or is there no need? And the correct opinion is that a person should first wipe over his face and then he wipes over his hands. And then the last thing is, what are the things, the matters which break a person's tayammum? Which things break a person's tayammum? Firstly, whatever breaks wudu, breaks a tayammum. Why? Because wudu, it is the badal of tayammum. It is the alternative of a tayammum. And the badal, the alternative, always takes the ruling of that which has been, it has been exchanged for. So whatever breaks wudu, then this breaks the tayammum. The second thing which breaks tayammum is if you find water, the existence of water. So as soon as you have found water, even though you've prayed and that prayer is complete, but from now on, you have to make wudu and you have to pray the next prayer with your wudu. The third thing which breaks a person's tayammum is the removal of that excuse for which you are making tayammum. Like I said, if a person is ill and therefore you make tayammum, as soon as you're cured from that illness, you are well now, then no longer can you make tayammum and you have to make al-wudu. And some of the ulama, the Hanabila, they mentioned that khuruj al-waqt, the exiting of one of the prayer, this breaks your tayammum. Like I said, if you made tayammum and you prayed dhuhr prayer, as soon as the time for dhuhr has gone, now your tayammum is broken. So now again you look for the asr prayer. Can I find any water? If you cannot find water, you have to make tayammum again. This was the opinion of the Hanabila because they believed that a tayammum is mubihun lis-salah wa laysa rafi' lil-hadath. However, the correct opinion, and Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah says this, that just because you make tayammum for one prayer, it doesn't mean you can't pray the second prayer in that tayammum. You can carry on praying the prayers in the same tayammum as long as you haven't broken your tayammum by breaking your wudu. And it is better, however, not an obligation, that a person delays praying the prayer until the last time of the prayer. And then he prays the prayer with tayammum. And the reason behind this is that perhaps within the time of that prayer, maybe you will find water. So it isn't an obligation, but it is better to delay your prayer slightly towards the end of the time in case you find water. And then if you don't find water, then you can make a tayammum. And then the last issue is, before we study the hadith, is for a person who doesn't find water, neither does he find soil. Doesn't find water, neither does he find soil. He doesn't find anything. What is upon him? Firstly, can anybody, apart from my class, can anybody think of an example in which neither water nor any type of earth or land or soil or sand would be found? Is there any situation? Possibly, but there's water all around you.
Big terrific building or something like that.
Outside? Outside the building?
Space?
Huh? If you're on Mars, they're debating whether there's water there or not. If a person's paralyzed, for example, you can't go to the water, neither can you go to the sand. This is the fuqaha, they discuss these things, because even though now we might laugh, but la qadar Allah, there might be a situation in which a person's paralyzed, neither can he go to water, and the time for the Maghrib prayer is coming, for example. Right? The other say, for example, if you were on a tree somewhere, and below you is a lion. Right, I remember studying this in the university. So neither can you reach the land, and neither can you reach water. So what should a person do here? What does a person do here? Strangely, some of the fuqaha they mentioned, I remember the teacher saying that in this situation, if you can't reach water or any land or soil or earth, then you make the intention for tayammum, and this is enough. And the strange thing with this opinion is that if you're going to make the intention for tayammum, then why don't you make the intention for wudu? Obviously, it's better that you make intention for al-wudu, not that you make intention for tayammum. So if you're going to make the intention, you make intention for the wudu, and then this covers you until the next prayer comes. After this introduction... So in any situation in which you now cannot find water or earth, or you can't reach it, then you make your intention of wudu, and this is enough, and then you pray in that with that intention. And of course, a tayammum is established or legislated in the Quran and in the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and also al-ijma. And the main ayah, the asl, the main proof for tayammum is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. I think it's ayat number 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. When Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, idha qumtum ila salati, faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum lal mirfaqain. O people of Iman, when you stand up for the prayer, then wash your faces and wash your hands to your elbows. Wamsahu bi ru'usikum, and wipe over your heads. Wa arjulakum, and wash your, ayat number 6, and wash your feet. And then Allah said towards the end, فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. And if you do not find any water, then make tayammum sa'idan tayyiba with pure soil or earth. This is the main evidence for a tayammum. And we come to hadith number 36, which is the hadith of Umran ibn Husayn radiyallahu anhu. And this name, Umran, it is either pronounced with a dhamma over the ayn or a kasra under the ayn. Both of them are correct. Umran or Imran. Umran ibn Husayn or Imran ibn Husayn radiyallahu anhuma. Both of them were Muslims. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a rajulan mu'tazilan. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man who had isolated himself from the other Muslims. Lam yusalli fil qawm. And he didn't pray with the rest of the people. Faqal, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya fulan, also and so, ma mana'aka an tusalliya fil qawm. What has prohibited you, what has stopped you or prevented you from praying with the rest of the people? Faqala ya Rasulullah, so the man said, O Messenger of Allah, asabatni janabatun wala ma. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I entered into the state of Hadith al-Akbar because of janaba, because of the major impurity, wala ma, and there was no water. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, alayka bis-sa'id fa innahu yakfik. Upon you is the earth, the soil or the sand, fa innahu yakfik, and this is sufficient for you. In this hadith, there's a number of benefits. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, alayka bis-sa'id. Upon you is as-sa'id. And the meaning of as-sa'id is kullu ma tasa'ada 'ala al-ard. That everything which is above the earth. When we say the earth, we mean naturally out there. Everything which is above the earth, then this is sufficient for a person to make a tayammum. So it doesn't have to be that a person physically takes some soil, you know, and then you have to do tayammum upon that soil. كُلُّ مَا تَصَاعَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Everything which is above the earth, then you can make tayammum with this naturally upon the earth or the land. And sa'ada, yusa'idu with the sa'ad, it means to go up. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَإِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. And to him, to Allah, goes up the good word. And therefore sa'ada means to be above or to go upwards. And this hadith, it is regarding the Fajr prayer. That in the Fajr prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he was sleeping with the rest of the companions and they missed the Fajr prayer. And in the narration, the long narration in Al-Bukhari, it is mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu woke up but he didn't wake the Prophet up because the companions, out of their respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they didn't want to wake him up when he was sleeping. And then Umar radiallahu anhu woke up and he didn't want to directly wake the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until one of them made adhan with a loud voice, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke up, and then they prayed the Fajr prayer, Salatul Subh. Salatul Fajr meaning Salat al-Subh. And one of the men, he remained far away and isolated from the people because he couldn't find water and he was in a state of janaba. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, why didn't you pray? And he said that I was upon janaba and I could not find water. The Prophet said, if you cannot find water, then upon you is as-sa'id. In this hadith, there is a number of benefits. The first benefit is that a tayammum takes the place of al-ghusl. Some people think that you only make tayammum from minor impurity, from al-hadath al-asghar. I.e. tayammum is only an alternative for wudu. However, this hadith shows that tayammum is an alternative for wudu and also ghusl. Even from janaba, if a person cannot find water, then you make tayammum and this is sufficient. The second benefit from this is the ways in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would educate and give da'wah. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this man not praying, did he say to him, why haven't you prayed? He asked him. He asked him, why have you not prayed? What has caused you to be isolated from the people? And the ulama mention that, just as Al-Bassam mentions, لا ينبغي لمن رأى مقصرا في عمل. That if you see a person who is deficient in a particular action, and يُبَادِرَهُ بِالتَّعْنِيفِ أَوْ اللَّوْمِ, that a person should start blaming him straight away or be harsh with him straight away. حَتَّى يَسْتَوْضِحْ عَنِ السَّبَبِ, before you've actually asked him for the reason. So you might find a person and he's doing something which is wrong or leaving off a wajib, but don't start blaming him or censoring straight away, but ask him, what has caused you to do this? Why is it that you have done so and so? Or why is it that you haven't done so and so? And then after he gives you the answer, then you can explain to him why he is wrong or in what he is deficient. Because perhaps he has an excuse, perhaps he has an illness, perhaps there's something that prevented him. So never forbid somebody or be harsh on somebody or blame somebody without first speaking to that person and asking that person. This is taken from this hadith. Even in the chapter of Tayammum, the scholars speak about the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to a da'wah. And the fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, he said, "Ma manaka an tusalli fil qawm?" What prevented you from praying with the people? He was asking him the reason or the excuse that he may have. Naam. Then the second hadith, which is the 37th hadith, is the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhuma. Qal, ba'athani Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hajatin fajtanabtu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent me on a particular mission or a particular responsibility. And whilst Yasir radiyallahu anhuma ibn Ammar, whilst he was away on this responsibility, when he woke up in the morning, he found some wetness on his clothing and he thought that this is janaba. فَلَمْ أَجِدِ الْمَاءِ, and he says, so I didn't find water. فَتَمَرَّضْتُ فِي الصَّعِيدِ كَمَا تَمَرَّغُ الدَّابَةُ, so I rolled around on the earth just like an animal rolls around upon the earth. ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and then he thought that by doing this he has now made ghusl with tayammum. And then he prayed. And then he says, ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيِّ, then I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لَهُ, and then I mentioned this to him. And the Prophet said to him, إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَكْفِيكَ أَن تَقُولَ, it was sufficient for you in that situation, أَن تَقُولَ, that you should تَقُولَ. What does قَالَ يَقُولُ mean? What does قَالَ mean? To say, right? قَالَ means to say. In the Arabic language, sometimes qala yaqulu also means to do. It doesn't only mean to say. Because the Prophet said, innama kana yakfika an taqula biyadayki hakadha, it was enough for you with your hands to do. And then he showed him what he should do. Thumma daraba biyadayhi al-ard darbatan wahida, then he placed his hands upon the earth once. Thumma masaha ash-shamal ala al-yamin wa zahira kaffayhi wa wajhahu, and then he wiped his right over his left and he wiped over his face. And in one of the narrations, he blew on his hands. The reason why Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhuma, why he rolled around upon the land, is because he was comparing or making qiyas between wudu and tayammum and ghusl and tayammum. So if in wudu you wash certain body parts, and therefore when it comes to tayammum you just take the soil on those on the two body parts, then he thought that therefore when it comes to ghusl, just as you have to wash the whole body, then somehow you have to make sure that the dust touches the all of your body. And for this reason he rolled around on the earth to make sure that the soil or the sand is touching all of his clothes, all of his body. And then he prayed his prayer. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to him that no, it is sufficient for wudu and for ghusl that a person does the same tayammum. And also, the ulama, they differed that when a person makes tayammum, should he place his hands upon the earth once and then wipe his face and his hands with that one placing of the hands, or does he have to do it once for his face and once for his hands? And the ulama, they have mentioned that the narration which contains placing of the hands twice, and this is weak, and the authentic narration which is in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim, Because we said Umdatul Ahkam in Sahih Bukhari Muslim is that the Prophet ﷺ only told them to place their hands once. And here the author mentions the statement of Ibn Daqiq al-Eid. He said, "Warada fi hadith tayammum darbatan." That in the hadith of tayammum, there is a narration in which the Prophet told them to place their hands twice upon the earth. Darbatun lilwaj, the first one for the face, wa darbatun lilyadain, and the second darba for the hands. Illa annahu la yuqawim hadha al-hadith fi siha. Except that this hadith, in terms of placing hands twice upon the earth, then this is not authentic. And other scholars have mentioned this. And then after this, we come to the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, u'titu khamsan lam yu'tahunna ahadun qabli. I've been given five special characteristics. Nobody but before me, I know Prophet or Messenger who came before me, has been given these five special characteristics. He said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ الشَّهَرِ. That I have been aided by Allah, in that Allah has placed fear in the hearts of my enemy a month before I reached them. This was a special characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That before the army of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached their enemy a month's journey before, then the kuffar would also always already be fearful. وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And that the earth, either land, it has been made masjid for me and a tahur. Masjid, i.e. a place of prayer, and tahur, i.e. an avenue of purification. He said, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْيُصَلِّي. So whoever from my ummah, whenever the time for the prayer comes, then he should pray. Meaning wherever you are. And this was only given to our ummah and our Prophet ﷺ. The umam, the nations who came before, and the prophets and the messengers who came before, they could only pray their prayers in the whatever building they had. You know, the place of worship. As for our ummah, then all of the earth, it's allowed for us to pray. And also it's allowed for us to use for a tayammum. So if, for example, you're traveling and the time for Maghrib comes and you're by the side of the road, you can stop your car, you can pray and your prayer is correct, and you can also make a tayammum. Of course, then there are certain exceptions like the graveyards, like the toilets, anything which contains najasa, but this is an exception. The asal, the base ruling is that all of the earth, it is like a masjid for us, and it is tahur, it is also an avenue of at-tahara. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمِ. And then the Prophet said, and the ghanima, the war booty, has been permitted for me. وَلَمْ تَحِلِّي أَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. And it was not allowed for anybody before me. وَأُعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ. And I was given the shafa'a. Meaning on the day of resurrection, the people will go to all of the prophets one by one. And each prophet for intercession, each prophet will say, go to the next one, go to the next one, go to the next one. Up until they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he is given permission to make shafa'a, he will go into a sujood. And this is called al-maqam al-mahmood. When we say in the adhan of in the dua of the adhan, al-maqam al-mahmood, then this is maqam al-mahmood. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go into prostration in front of Allah azza wa jal. And the hadith mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will make praise of Allah azza wa jal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak. O Muhammad, raise your head, ishfa' to shafa'. And now seek intercession for your ummah, and your intercession will be granted. Wasal tu'ta. And ask, and your supplication will be answered. And this is called ash-shafa'a al-uzma. This is the great intercession on the day of resurrection for the people of at-tawheed, but those who have sins and major sins, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will make shafa'a for the people. And ash-shafa'a is only for the people of at-tawheed. The people of shirk will never acquire or attain the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, man as'ada an-nas bi shafa'atik yawm al-qiyamah? Who amongst the people is most deserving of your shafa'a on the day of resurrection? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. Whoever said la ilaha illallah with sincerity in his heart. And this is the people of At-Tawheed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ash-shafa'atu li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati." That my shafa'a is for those people of the major sins, but from my ummah, meaning the ummah of At-Tawheed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wa kana an-nabiyyu yub'athu ila qawmihi khasa." The fifth special characteristic is that each of the Prophet was sent to only his people. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَةً. And I have been sent to all of mankind. And if you look in the Quran, Allah mentions, Allah says, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And to the people of Ad, we sent their brother Hud. And he mentions like this, وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And to the people of Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. And to the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. But when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he is Rasulullah ilayna ajma'in. He is the messenger of Allah to all of us, to every nation, every time, every place, for the Arabs and the non-Arabs at that time up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he remains the Prophet. There's many benefits of this hadith, but the main benefit in terms of this chapter is that number one, at-tayammum is a special, unique characteristic of only this ummah, and it wasn't with the previous ummah who came before us. And secondly, that anywhere upon the earth, a person can make at-tayammum. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.